It's the WMRA Daily for WMRA News. I'm Bob Levicky. So, we've had rain. Why is there still extreme drought in our area? A former Waynesboro cop is sentenced to jail for assaulting a fellow officer with a taser. And crime, including violent offenses, is down across Virginia, according to state police. This is the WMRA Daily for Monday, July 20th. Despite recent rain, little has changed in Virginia's drought situation. Extreme drought still covers much of central Virginia, including Albemarle and Nelson counties. That's according to the latest U.S. Drought Monitor for Virginia. The area of extreme drought also stretches into Rock Bridge County and Lexington. Parts of the Shenandoah Valley from Harrisonburg through most of Augusta County are still under severe drought. That's one level short of extreme drought. Virginia's Department of Environmental Quality says that precipitation is only one of many factors considered by their drought monitoring task force. Other indicators include groundwater levels, reservoir levels, soil moisture, and stream flow, all of which remain low, and rainfall in recent months remains below average. Cases of measles in Virginia continue to climb. The latest data from the Virginia Department of Health report 177 measles cases so far this year, many of which originated in Buckingham County and then spread to neighboring Cumberland County. Local health officials recommend the measles, mumps, and rubella vaccine, which is highly effective in preventing transmission of measles. You can find more of WMRA's reporting on this year's outbreak. Type WMRA measles into your browser. A former Waynesboro police officer has been sentenced to 8 months in jail for assault of a fellow officer. The news leader reports that last week, a Waynesboro circuit court judge sentenced Jacob Moore to 8 months behind bars. In April, a jury convicted Moore after he used a stun gun on a fellow cop while on duty in 2025. At trial, Moore denied using a taser on his colleague and said the device never touched him. Moore said he zapped the other officer while joking around. Crime was down across Virginia in 2025, with violent crimes at a five-year low, according to new data from Virginia State Police. WAVY reports the just-released VSP Crime in Virginia report for last year shows that violent crime, including murders, manslaughter, aggravated assault, rape, and robbery, was down nearly 6% in Virginia last year over 2024. In fact, violent crime was at a five-year low. Virginia also saw less property crime in 2025, including burglary, larceny, fraud, and motor vehicle theft. The U.S. Senate is considering a bill on fentanyl trafficking that was introduced by Northern Virginia Congressman James Walkinshaw. Radio IQ's Michael Pope reports.
It's been more than 3 years since Congress mandated that the Department of Homeland Security create a centralized program to collect data on fentanyl and put together a plan to keep chemical precursors from entering the U.S. But that never happened, says Congressman James Walkinshaw, who introduced the Measuring Illicit Fentanyl Trafficking Act.
The Department of Homeland Security has failed to coordinate its efforts to prevent fentanyl trafficking and hasn't been measuring their progress.
Earlier this month, his bill passed the House, Walkinshaw's first bill to make it to the Senate. It was an accomplishment he shared with Republican Congressman Mike McCall of Texas. The bipartisan duo worked together to establish performance metrics and improve interagency coordination.
Fentanyl is the number one killer of young Americans between the ages of 18 and 45. My children have witnessed five funerals. One took fentanyl on Christmas Eve, did not wake up on Christmas Day.
Walkinshaw says he hopes the Senate will pass the bill and get it to the president's desk before the end of the year. I'm Michael Pope.
More than a decade ago, Virginia and the Department of Justice worked together to close state-run training centers used to house people with severe intellectual and developmental disabilities. The deal aimed to replace isolated treatment with integrated community living, but a new memo from the DOJ is now casting some doubt on those protections. Also with Radio IQ, Brad Kuttner reports.
I think that's the fear, right? It's just a memo about their opinion, not changing the law, but that's how they start stuff.
That's Tanya Milling with the disability advocacy group ARC of Virginia, speaking about a mid-June memo from the Department of Justice, which says the agency no longer backs court precedent that protects the developmentally and physically disabled for being kept in institutional-style facilities. Almost 15 years ago, Virginia agreed to close its facilities, called training centers, and move residents from isolation into the community. The court precedent behind this integration is a 1999 case called Olmstead. In its ruling, the U.S. Supreme Court called it discrimination when treatment for the disabled does not include the most community-integrated setting possible. But the DOJ memo released last month says, quote, stating that institutional isolation can be discriminatory does not equate to saying that it is discriminatory under specific circumstances. Shira Wachslag is an attorney with the ARC of the U.S.
So that is incredibly worrisome.
Wachslag said the DOJ has long been the primary enforcer of Olmstead, including in Virginia. And if they abandon that role, it leaves it up to private individuals to defend their rights instead.
That's a very different kind of enforcement than when you have the federal government coming in and ensuring that systems within states are complying with federal law.
Virginia's longstanding agreement with the DOJ is admittedly more advanced and may not be subject to changes, but no matter what happens, Senator Tim Kaine hopes Virginia continues to protect its most vulnerable.
And I don't want to see leadership back up on that commitment. We should be striving for community integration in every way we can.
In Richmond, I'm Brad Kuttner.
Carrie Diener, CEO of the Blue Ridge Area Food Bank, has been appointed to the Virginia Commission to End Hunger. In a statement, Diener said she's honored to serve on the board and work on finding statewide solutions to hunger. Her two-year term ends on June 30th, 2028. Finally today, a small clause in a federal budget proposal could threaten protected oyster reefs in the Chesapeake Bay. WHRO's Catherine Hafner reports.
Along Pleasure House Creek in Virginia Beach, tens of millions of oysters come into view at low tide.
This was our biggest reef project ever and most successful ever.
That's Brent James with Lynn Haven River Now, which installed this oyster reef several years ago. It's among thousands of acres of so-called sanctuary reefs built to boost wild oysters around the bay. But Congress is considering a budget bill that would strip reefs like these of protection. After a few years, they'd be open for commercial harvest. James worries that it would wipe out all their hard work and the millions the government has spent to build these projects.
Come back in 20 years and probably this whole inlet is going to be covered with oysters. If they're allowed to be taken, then all bets are off.
The change would also make it harder to achieve long-term federal goals for cleaning up the bay.
Catherine Hafner reporting. For WMRA News, I'm Bob Levicky. Thanks for listening, and I hope you enjoy your Monday.